बहुत सारे लोग होते हैं जो ऐसे रैंडमली बोलते हैं दैट आई वांट टू बिल्ड समथिंग लाइक दिस वन डे. यू आर वन ऑफ दोज फ्यू पीपल हु हैव एग्जीक्यूटेड योर आइडिया, दैट यू गॉट दिस आइडिया, यू वर जस्ट आउटसाइड योर योगा क्लास ईटिंग वन बार एंड यू सेड वी कैन स्टार्ट समथिंग लाइक दैट इन इंडिया.
आई डोंट थिंक आई कैन डू अ जॉब एंड डू इट बैडली. आई एम कंपेटिटिव. आई एम नॉट समबडी हु विल बी ओके विद मीडियोक्रिटी. My wardrobe has pajamas, like I just have black pajamas and I have black tops. I don't like to think about it at all. I eat the same 3 meals every day.
How do you do it? Like you ran a company, you're still running it. You have a 4-year-old kid, yeah. And you want to stay in touch with all our friends.
Abhi bhi health taste ke bina nahi bikhe. Like that is the truth of it. You have to do 80% health and 20% taste.
What are the products or ingredients we Indians use that are not healthy?
Primary one is like if there was a one tip, just don't pick the stuff that has maida. You avoid biscuits, you avoid chocolate, do one cheat meal a week, you sleep on time, you eat between 6 to 7 o'clock.
Yeah, you'll be healthy, you'll be okay.
A lot of people come back and tell me you run a health food company, you're not skinny. I'm like, I have never taken a pill in my life. To me, that's the better indicator of health. I can lift 50 kgs, I can do 30 push-ups, I won't break a sweat.
What's that one thing you have learned from ITC?
Thing that I was most impressed with is...
बहुत सारे लोग होते हैं जो ऐसे रैंडमली बोलते हैं दैट आई वांट टू बिल्ड समथिंग लाइक दिस मंडे एंड आई वांट टू स्टार्ट दिस कंपनी और आई हैव दिस आइडिया, मे बी आई हैव टाइम, आई डू इट, मे बी आई हैव दिस काइंड ऑफ सिचुएशन, आई डू इट. यू आर वन ऑफ दोज फ्यू पीपल हु हैव यू नो एग्जीक्यूटेड योर आइडिया, दैट यू गॉट दिस आइडिया, यू वर जस्ट आउटसाइड योर योगा क्लास एंड यू वर ईटिंग वन बार एंड यू सेड वी कैन स्टार्ट समथिंग लाइक दैट इन इंडिया. And you executed your idea, scaled it and sold it to a bigger company. And how does it feel?
Feels normal, to be very honest. Like everybody keeps asking
you
me.
You say this in all the interviews. It feels normal.
I mean,
is it because of the process that it took you 1 year of that process, M&A process, and it, like, ek jo moment aaya, uske baad aisa laga ki,
I feel like everybody, I mean, I don't know, I inherently, and I'm not just saying this, but I feel... Everybody's life is a different beautiful journey, right? And my journey is no more beautiful or no harsher than anybody else's. I inherently believe that. Like, you know, like there are many points in your life where you look at somebody else and you think, like in my apartment, there'll be a couple of people who'd be like, you must feel so great all the time. And I'd be like, yeah, but you have this really, and like for me, the idea of happiness has always been like a really large family, like having like 5 kids in the house and, you know, having dogs and all of that. And I feel everyone has this sense of balance as to how they go about their life. And I feel everyone's journey, everyone's circumstances, everyone's experience is different. So I don't feel any more special or any less than anyone else. And I feel this was a natural, I mean, I don't know, I don't feel different in any way, maybe, I don't know.
You sound so calm here, but I have heard your interview with Shantanu and you were sharing all those hectic days.
Yeah, of course.
And how aggressive you were about certain things.
Yeah.
That your team were okay, your team was okay, your investors were okay, but you were very aggressive that I have to do it in a certain way. And then now I'm seeing you, meeting you, you sound so calm.
Yeah. So that is inherently... Like, I don't think I can do a job and do it badly. I'm competitive and I am very clear that when you run a company and you've given people certain commitments, you have to honor. Like, I'm very clear, like I had to return, do some, you know, some, you know, give good return to my investors. They had trusted me. My employees, we've never had a single layoff in Yogaba. Like, I'm not somebody who will be okay with mediocrity. And that's a choice I've made for who I am and I accept it. I'm saying there's a price to be paid for people who want to always make sure that they do their best possible job. Inherently competitive people are also lead stressful lives.
Yeah.
So that's just a skill thing. I don't think anything I do, I can do it less
half-hearted.
Like day before yesterday, somebody asked me to, I mean, there was a badminton class going on in the morning and the pros play in the morning in the apartment. And I was playing and then they were like, no, maybe you should learn how to play. And now I'm so competitive about it. I hired a coach and I think like my pro, like I'm just inherently that person. Like I can't, and if somebody ever tells me I can't do something, I will definitely do it.
You mentioned about your family. You come from a Tamram family, right?
Yeah.
And you mentioned that everyone in the family is academically well accomplished. So tell me about your early days. How was life and where do you come from?
So it's a very interesting story. So my dad was one of the highest paid professionals in the country. Like in the 1970s, and obviously at that point in time he was a bachelor.
Mm-hmm.
So 5 degrees, CA, CS, lawyer, MBA.
Amazing.
Also a Sanskrit scholar.
Oh God.
And also a big fan of Elvis, understood English music way ahead of his times, also understood classical. So very, I probably didn't appreciate how dynamic he was as a human being until now. Like, he left his job because he has 3 girls and he decided that he's not going to take a job that makes him transfer from one city to the other. He wants to give stability and he very early on decided that education is the biggest source of freedom.
Hmm.
Left his job. We lived in under very simple circumstances. Like, we've never bought packaged food at home. Like, my mother would make the ka jarka halwa or whatever, right? Like, I'm not saying that we were poor. I'm saying, to go from being like one of the highest paid professionals in the country to living a very, very, structured life. Like, you plan your finances for the month. You do all of that.
So what was he doing?
He started practicing as a CA.
Okay.
And as a practicing chartered accountant, it's very difficult.
I know.
But he also dabbled in a number of businesses. So he used to do, he used to supply taxis to all the 5-star hotels. So the Ola of today, my dad used to do it.
This is so amazing.
It's amazing. And then during his 80s, we didn't have a car at home, but my dad had bought 2 computers because he decided he wants to do a accounting outsourcing company in the 80s. And my mom made my mother take these courses in computers so that she can also kind of like help him also do this business with each other. But he was too early. Like, all of his ideas were very, we're talking about 40 years back, you know, and then he started doing like a fashion business. And so I think he was inherently a very creative mind.
And
but
what
also,
was his background? Like, his father?
I mean, my grandfather was a doctor, but like, my father was, he's a finance person, CA, CS, ICWA, whatever. But he also comes from a family where they studied under the streetlight, would not have like food for several days of the week. Mm. 1 glass of milk a day was his entire meal and all of that. So, and I think my dad's influence on our lives is very, very strong.
Yeah.
I do think that as I grow older, I become more and more like him.
Yeah.
So, extreme sense of discipline. You really limit your needs. Like, I don't buy or use anything that I don't need. I will limit the number of things that I would
own.
You
still do that.
I still absolutely do that. I have the same car for the last 15 years. I don't know how to drive, so I need a car.
Yeah.
So I have a very basic car. I have it for 15 years. I don't buy a house. I don't have a fancy house. I have like basic things.
Yeah.
Until my clothes really wear and tear, I don't really replace them. I've never bought a piece of gold. And I think all of that is really cultural. Like, I think it's just the kind of discipline that my
things
dad
you have learned from
things
me.
You've learned. Yeah.
Also,
I don't have the need to really waste, you know, like I don't have the need to waste, or I don't feel like things should impress people. Like, I get a lot of people make a lot of fun of me for that habit, but I don't believe that I would want to be any different.
No, I think this is the ideal case. We should all do that, because remember growing up, we used to have only 2-3 products in our washroom. We'll
exactly.
have toothpaste,
yeah.
shampoo, 2-3 soaps.
Yeah. It's like
now our
my...
washrooms are full
oh, yeah,
of
yeah,
products.
Yeah.
We have all kind of serums, hair masks,
yeah.
face masks, whatnot.
Yeah.
And now there will be a time when all these influencers will start telling you that let's live minimal.
Yeah.
There will
yeah.
be a time, because
yeah.
now, like, I just don't understand. What do you think? Like, are, because you founded a consumer brand, so I'm asking this. Do you think our needs have increased
yeah.
or we are over?
Yeah, I'm. I actually cannot for the life of me imagine why people spend so much. I'll be very honest.
Mm.
I spend on food. I like good food, like healthy, like really.
Yeah.
Like, I would buy organic vegetables. I need to know where my food is coming from, and I've always been that way. I've never owned cosmetics. Like I might have 1 or 2 gifts that somebody's given me. I've never purchased personal care products. Right? Like, I'm exactly like that. You'll have the same the soap and the toothpaste and then a shampoo, and then once it gets over, you buy the next, and then you buy the next, yes. Right? But I guess like India is also seeing the kind of money that we never,
yes.
Like during the time when our parents grew up, you did ration out everything. Like a 20 rupees made a difference. You know, I remember like when we would always use public transport, we would always use a bus. And the few times you would use that auto for the last mile, you would see when that meter changes from like 16 rupees to 16.5, you get down from the auto because you don't want to, you know, like end up taking the auto for that extra mile. So, I'm not saying one should, I think you should, everything should be in measure. Like if you ask me, the ideal way to live life, because you could have everything and it's not enough, and you could have very little and it could always seem enough. I've always believed that I had a lot. Yeah. I've always believed that. Even as a kid, I would be like, my house is the most beautiful. The dresses that my mother stitched me are the most beautiful. The food that she put on my table is the best kind of food. And I think it's the attitude. Like I feel if you grow from a mindset where I was a very happy kid, like I had a beautiful childhood.
But I'm amazed to see that you didn't get influenced.
I don't know. I mean, I'm guessing.
Because I got influenced. Okay. I had this mindset that I'll only, because I lived with my relatives.
Yeah.
So you're always very conscious with your living with when you're living with your relatives that you try your best to minimize your expenses, that you're living with someone. So they are already spending on your studies and transport. So you shouldn't buy clothes.
Yeah.
So I would wear my cousin's clothes.
Yeah.
When I'm at home, obviously. Yeah. And then I got married and my sister-in-law, she's into skincare because like you enjoy food, she enjoys skincare and she likes taking care of her feet, hands, and she likes doing that. So she buys these things.
Yeah.
And I started feeling that I don't do anything for myself. And that was the phase when Kabir was small and I started feeling that I don't have my life. Mm. It's everything is Kabir. I don't have career. I don't have my own routine. Don't have friends. So I started buying these things.
Mm.
And then I realized that, it got hectic for me because I don't have time and I want to be focused on my career and I have overcomplicated things for me.
Yeah.
What if I have a very minimal routine for myself that I'll only work for 4-5 hours and I'll rest of the time I'll spend with Kabir. I shouldn't be spending time with friends because whenever I meet friends and they are not in my shoes.
Yeah.
So I feel like there is this negative thing I get take with me when I get home. So I'm like, I'll call them when I need them or they can call me when they need me, but I limited those things.
Yeah.
And, there was no skincare routine for me.
Yeah.
And, I started cleaning my washroom, but I should get back to those 3-4 product kind of routine for myself. And I think I'm so much more focused now.
Yeah.
I don't go to malls now.
Yeah.
Because I don't enjoy.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
Kabir is crying when I'm in malls.
Yeah.
So I would, you know, rather visit Indranagar.
Yeah.
We have open shops and if I need something, I'll go to the shop, I'll buy something or I'll buy something for Kabir and we are home.
Yeah.
So I think.
Yeah. So I've gone one step further. So my wardrobe has pajamas. Like I just have black pajamas and I have black tops. And I just have a lot of those. And the only 2-3 things that I have are a couple of jackets. So I would just literally have a couple of kurtas and jackets. I don't like to think about it. And I have like these Indian artisan shoes, like they make these really comfortable shoes. I'll have 3 or 4 of those. And I don't like to think about it at all. I don't want to spend my time kind of like optimizing on how I look every day. It's irrelevant. I feel like everybody looks nice and for me, like I function very differently. But to the point about friends, right? I'm definitely the kind of person who doesn't like to lose any relationship. Like my friends date back to when I was studying in school. I've never lost a friend, like through the years, whether it's Clooney, like the school I went to or National Public School or the colleges I went to or, you know, the places I worked. It would really break my heart. Like I'm definitely the kind of person who likes to keep, I value my relationships a lot. And I definitely think I'm the one who puts a lot more effort keeping it together. So I would much rather spend time on those things, on my interactions with people, rather than like all of, like I feel like beyond, maybe it's the age also. I don't know. Like maybe it's also the time where it really doesn't matter. Like maybe just.
It's amazing. Like how do you do it? Like, you ran a company and you're still running it. You have a 4-year-old kid.
Yeah.
And you want to stay in touch with all our
I keep
friends.
Everything else around my life very simple. It's the same meals every day.
The way you have kept your routine very minimal, it's
very useful.
The same philosophy
because
for
you don't like your, there's no mind. Like, I eat the same 3 meals every day. I dress the same. Like, I have like a couple of things and I'll wear exactly that. I have my clothes to work out and I have like the clothes that I wear outside. It's properly
so it's
arranged.
You should have very limited number of decisions to make so that you can focus on the most important decisions in your life.
Yeah.
So it like sucks your energy when you have to pick ye pehna hai, ye pehna hai, ye karna hai, ye karna hai.
And I also feel the act, I mean, I have a big problem with actually the beauty industry in general. I feel like the notion of beauty is just so warped. Who is to decide, right? Like, why does clear skin so important? Why is white skin so important? Why is red lips so important?
Yeah.
I actually think the beauty industry has destroyed our intellect. Like, I feel like fat lips, who's to say that fat or thin lips look better? Who's to say, like, why are, and it's all marketing dollars driven towards conforming beauty to certain notions. And I don't find that acceptable. I feel like when you, I mean, I feel like everybody is beautiful. Like, what is the problem? Like, as long as you're a functioning individual, the only thing you should optimize for is health.
Yeah.
Of course, people should be healthy. Like, and of course, to the extent that your external, you know, like, suppose you have like a rash, you need to investigate it because there could be an underlying health condition. But beyond that, as long as you're a functioning individual who's healthy, why does it matter? For me, it's like, it's not so obvious to me that a certain kind of beauty is better than a certain, like, I would see people quite equally. Like, and I end up finding a lot of people just interesting. People are unique. I don't like this concept of beauty. Like, it really bothers me. And I feel like at some point.
No, it is truly concerning because I have also noticed this after I had Kabir, that women have to make lot of decisions in their daily life. Like, the moment we are awake, I have to dress up Kabir. Obviously, Siddharth is with me, but Kabir is small, so he's more dependent on me.
Yeah.
Siddharth is happy to help, but he's like, mujhe mamma ke gode mein jana hai, mamma ke saath hi sona hai, mamma se hi pajama pehna, there are things.
Yeah.
So, I want that I have to make very less number of decisions I should be making.
Yeah.
So, this is concerning. कि जितने ज्यादा ब्यूटी प्रोडक्ट्स हैं, जितने ज्यादा सिरम्स हैं, जितने ज्यादा हेयर मास्क अलग है और फेस मास्क अलग है, एंड देर आर सो मेनी प्रोडक्ट्स, एंड ऑल ऑफ दीज प्रोडक्ट्स आर फॉर वुमेन मोस्टली, ठीक है, एंड वी शुड बी ट्राइंग दैट वुमेन दे हैव टू मेक लेस डिसीजंस इन देयर लाइफ सो दे कैन फोकस ऑन देयर करियर एंड द मोस्ट इंपॉर्टेंट थिंग्स, एंड देन दे आर लाइक, हमने एक थोड़ा सा उसको ग्लोरीफाई कर दिया है कि इट्स देयर लाइफ, दे शुड चूज, बट अगर आप फंडामेंटली देखो तो जितना मिनिमल होगा आप उतना बेटर डिसीजन करोगे. तो अगर आप इन सब चीजों में स्टक हो, दैट अ मैन ही कैन ड्रेस अप इन अ वेरी सटल वे एंड ही इज फीलिंग सो कॉन्फिडेंट और वो मीटिंग करने जा रहा है, एंड यू आर स्पेंडिंग 1 hour ड्रेसिंग अप, वी हैव ओवर कॉम्प्लिकेटेड दिस.
I agree. Like, and I, you know, and it's small things, right? Like, and I read to my kid every day. Like, I read stories to her. I read one fairy tale after the other, and all the fairy tales end the exact same way. There is a beautiful princess, there is a notion of beauty, and then she ends up with a handsome prince and they end up happily ever after. How many instances in life are going to end up that way? Like, I'm a perfectly, it's shocking that we give our children the impression that solving for beauty is going to solve problems in life. I think the way we story tell is wrong.
Yeah.
I think the notion of this concept that, people are beautiful and some people are not is extremely damaging.
And beautiful people will feel happy.
Yeah. I mean, and, you know.
Once you have glossy skin, you'll feel better about yourself.
Which is not the case. And
so I understand when you have acne, you should get the treatment then.
Yeah.
But when the skin is... I don't have any acne, but my skin is not glowing. And it's okay. It's not in my genes, or my mother doesn't have that kind of skin. So it's okay. I understand.
Yeah.
So I'm constantly putting efforts to, make my skin look more glossy.
Yeah. And there'll be instances in your life, I've never talked about this before, but I'll tell you, right? There was an instance in my life where, I think I had gluten intolerance. So I basically couldn't eat gluten, right? And every time I would eat gluten, I would get like boils all across my face. Like there was not a place on my face where there was a boil. Like there was boils everywhere. Like I would walk on the road, people would, like Indians are friendly. They ask because they care. Yeah. I appreciate it, but it can be extremely difficult for somebody when every second person, when you're walking on the road, is tapping you and asking you, is there something wrong? Is there something wrong? My daughter had this and you should do the same thing. You should put turmeric or whatever. Understand people are telling you because they feel bad for you, right? But you know what gives you, like, it's a very difficult position to be in because most people are really pitying you. Like, people are feeling bad for you. But it's not a situation to really feel bad about. You have a couple of boils in your face, it's fine.
Yeah.
And if you don't inherently as children grow up with that, it's okay.
Yeah.
A situation like that can really bring you down. Like, because you go through life, like, I remember I was in an, going in a flight and the guy refused to sit next to me. He said, do you have anything that's transferable? And I'm just like, it's a couple of boils on your face. Are you finding it difficult to look at my face? Then the problem is with you. It's not with me. If we have reached a place in a society where somebody feels like they shouldn't sit next to me because they're having difficulty looking at my face, who's the problem with? The problem is with you. But I was in a place, and because of the way I've always thought about things, to turn around and tell him that if you are finding it difficult to look at me, you should change your seat. I'm not going to go anywhere. And the problem is really with the way you are looking at things, and the problem's not with me. And I wish that there will always be situations in your life where you will need to, the only person you can, you need to feel good about yourself irrespective of how you are externally. And that's what we should teach our girls. Like, and I feel like with the beauty industry, I feel we are doing the exact opposite. It's getting competitive. People are comparing. People have a notion, and it's not useful. It's just, it's not useful for the way we look at life.
I think I'll tell you what's making it worse. If you have acne, you'll search what to do for acne. Then your whole Instagram feed, Facebook feed, it fills up with messages, fills up with posts or influencers telling what to do for acne. Then you start seeing it as a very, like, bahut badi problem hai ye meri life ki, because jitne baki log social media pe, unko bhi yahi ho raha hai aur baki logon ne kaise usko theek kar liya hai. To abhi aap career mein sab bhool gaye ho, abhi aap apne jinke sath aapko time spend karna hai, jo cheez aapko actually mein khushi deti hai, that you want to read, you want to go out for walk, or you should be doing yoga or exercise, you forget about those things. You only care about the girl who is telling you she had acne, how she got better skin.
And you are the person with the same heart and the same brain.
Yeah.
Whether or not you have acne.
Yeah.
You have the same emotions.
Yeah.
And you have the same head.
Yeah.
Does it really matter that it should occupy? You should do what is needed from a health reason. You know, whatever needs to be done. Like,
but
it was a
center
good process.
Yeah.
It should not be like, it should not engulf you, right?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I do like, have strong views on the way things. And I can imagine, this happened to me 10 years back where India was not so beauty conscious. So it was still okay. Like, imagine if I had something similar today, or my daughter had it and she had to face it. I do hope she had the same courage to turn around and say, the problem is with your eyes, it's not with my face.
She'll have.
I hope so. I really hope so.
Yeah. No, I think we have started learning from social media. It has its own advantages and disadvantages. We have this podcast available online. Anyone can watch it, and anyone can produce a podcast. Anyone can write a post. So it has its own advantages and disadvantages. I remember 1 year back, Kabir had started developing a squint in one of his eyes.
Yeah.
And it made me so conscious. And I'll tell you what I should have done. I should have gone to a doctor and usse baat karke, I should have figured it out that his diet should be protein rich, and screen time we have to limit. But all I was thinking, he goes to school and what if everyone laughs at him or makes him feel bad? So I was thinking about that. And then I was like, why am I thinking about future? What if his diet is good and I should be doing things that's under my control? And what if Kabir, it doesn't matter to Kabir?
Yeah, no, I mean, like when I, he has a right to be accepted the way he is. Like, why should he have to? It's his process, no? Like, they will be kids. I mean, I always tell my kid, like, I don't, like, you cannot see people differently. However they are, you have to accept them. It's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone has their own good plus, minuses. We're all, in the end of the day, at the end of the day, every life is equal. Like, and that you have to always remember. Like,
And you mentioned in one of your interviews that there is one investor, I think he's from Elevation, and you really like the fact about him that he treats everyone
equally. Yeah.
So there comes this point that...
my dad was a bit like that. Like I would say that, you know, when we were growing up, my house used to be a kind of like... open door and you know, like people, like government employees and stuff, if they had any problem with their land, they would come, they would sit with my dad, try to understand, and they would all, like, everyone was treated exactly the same way. My dad would help everybody. Everyone's allowed to come and ask him for help, and how much ever he can help, he would help everybody. So like, I remember helping somebody. I mean, you know, it's a big thing to own your own house for, you know, a certain section of society, and my dad would do it freely, and nobody gets, like, it comes from there. I do think that, seeing people equally is a good way to be happy.
Yeah.
It's a good way to be happy.
I think, we all should learn that, we should treat everyone equally, and, looks, sister differentiation nahi hona chahiye.
Yeah, of course.
Someone is looking different doesn't mean that he or she deserves a different kind of treatment.
Absolutely,
So Suhasini, you mentioned in one of your interviews, I think it was after the exit, that when you started Yoga Bar, India mein healthy nahi bikta hai, tasty bikta hai. Mm-hmm. And do you think it has changed?
It's interesting you asked that question. I do... Going by the size of the health food industry, and comparing it to the chocolates industry or the chips industry or the Haldirams, etc., it's still very small. It's growing fast. Yeah. It's growing quickly. But abhi bhi health taste ke bina nahi bikega. Like, that is the truth of it. You have to do 80% health and 20% taste. So yeah, I mean, but you can make products much, much better. Like, for instance, people think Kellogg's Chocos is healthy, but at the end of the day, it's full of maida. So how can you, like when we did our Chocos, we did 70% extrusion with millets and dal. So we took dal, basically the dal that people eat. We took all the millets and we did, instead of 70% maida, let's put 70% whole grains and dal and make choco. But you can't remove the chocolate because then the kids will not touch it. So, and the educated parents, like people who look at the nutrition label, etc., have come to that balance. Like, you can't be 100% health, your kids are not going to adapt. But somewhere that answer is between health and taste. So you can't say 100% health. I would say 70-80% health, 20-30% taste.
And what are the products or ingredients we Indians consume that are not healthy, but we don't care about it? Like, if you notice,
the primary one is definitely the samosas and the vada pavs. So I inherently believe that gluten is a bad ingredient. Like, maida is just lots of carbs, and it also spikes sugar, and Indians eat a lot of maida because every covering, right? Like, whether you eat bread, you should choose the wheat bread. Now Britannia also has a millet plus wheat bread. So you should always choose the healthier option on the aisle, and that's quite beneficial. I believe Indians choose a lot, like vada pav and samosas is quite harmful. Like, talking about 650 calories of just empty carbs, right? So with zero protein.
Yeah.
And but the really healthy food that Indians eat is we eat a lot of dal. So dal is great. Milk is great. Sattu is great. vegetables we Indians eat, you need to cook it a little bit lesser.
Mm-hmm.
Eating it a little bit more boiled and less cooked is quite useful. I'm not a non-vegetarian, so I don't know so much about non-veg food at all. But yeah, the milk consumption in India is quite high. Also, the good part is the farms in India are not as, you know, it's not as industrial. You know, Amul, which still controls a very large part of the, you know, yeah. milk produce in the country, still works with people. A village person has their own cow. They go supply it to the Amul cooperative. And so yeah. getting that as naturally as possible is super useful. So the quality of milk and dairy produce is a lot better in this country.
So it's like we don't have alternatives. Like we don't have anything
that yoga bar.
Tastes. But you only mentioned in one conversation that yoga bar is yoga bar, chocolate is chocolate. For so people like, get to choose between because they are two different products.
But if you're eating something every day,
yeah.
The indulgence when you're eating chocolate, that one meal of the week eating chocolate is different.
Yeah.
If you're snacking every day, you can't be eating chocolate every day. You yeah. have to pick a yoga bar 5 days of the yeah. week and pick that chocolate one day of the week. That's fine. Because that means at least for 4 days of the week, you've got whole grains. So what do we make yoga bars from? We make it from whole grains, nuts and seeds. Those are our primary ingredients and we add some cocoa and cocoa butter. That's it. We just mix all of that and
okay.
that's the product, right? Now, you can't be eating chocolates every day because yeah. diabetes is a real problem in India. Like sugar is, like in fact, today, if you're asking me where health is showing up, we have a no sugar muesli. So zero sugar, no raisins, no dates, no nothing. Zero it total sells. Sugar. It sells. Zero total sugar, right? And that's the fastest selling product in Reliance and DMart.
Wow.
And we're talking about Reliance and DMart. We're not talking about, I'm choosing Reliance and DMart yeah. to talk about because I'm saying, the shopper who comes to Reliance and DMart also understands health today.
Hmm.
It's not only the affluent people who are shopping online.
So what are the 4 or 5 things urban population should be having in a day where they can't cook at home and there are things they can opt for? And
you should
by replacing few of the things.
Yeah, so I would say lots of fruits. You start your breakfast with fruits. So even if you're eating like 40 grams of muesli, put one plate of fruit. Okay, one plate of fruit, some muesli or whatever, rather than, you know, having a lot of rice and all that in the morning, puri, all of that. No oil fried stuff.
Yeah.
Some muesli or some corn flakes or whatever and lots of fruits. I would say lunch should be like, you have to have, like I'm a big fan of eating a lot of broccoli. I eat like broccoli all the time. So I eat like one floret of broccoli a day. So I would say instead of choosing the maida pasta, choose a whole grain pasta. Choose the non-maida one. So whatever you eat in the afternoon, whether it's khichdi, have vegetables with it. If you're having roti, have vegetables with it. So finish your 2 of 5 and your lunch. 2 of the 5 portion vegetables and fruits that you need to eat in a day. You finish that during lunch. Then you have, I'm a big believer in drinking a lot of milk. So I don't do the vegan way. Like I would say you have to get protein as a vegetarian. So have protein, have some whey in your protein so that you get that 20, 30 grams of protein. I also, beyond 6 o'clock, one should not eat. You have to give your stomach that rest. So for your dinner, keep it light. You know, either have, again, repeat some vegetables and
so
roti
you don't have
or something.
To overcomplicated.
Don't overcomplicate it. And once you create a habit, that habit is easy to maintain.
Yeah.
And snacking is a big one. The place where people go wrong is mid-evening snacking and night snacking.
Hmm.
If you sleep early, that midnight snacking goes out of the window. You make a habit to sleep at 9:30.
Yeah.
Finish your last meal by 6 o'clock. And if you're snacking in between your lunch and dinner, pick a healthy snack.
Yeah. I think that's the problem. I'm talking about everyone. Most of the people who are not health conscious or even if they are, they can't afford. So if they get bhujia or, some kind of chips to snack
yeah.
or they have to buy something that's not affordable, they'll pick bhujia and namkeen and that is something that will spoil the entire
yeah.
other routine they have for themselves.
Yeah. Yeah, I think there are, I think avoid the cover.
Yeah.
You know, like I was telling you that sometimes barriers present opportunities.
Yeah.
If I was not gluten intolerant.
Yeah.
I would never have discovered that there are so many snacking, there's so much of snacking that you can do. If you leave maida out, it's a big thing.
Yeah.
Like if there was a one tip, just don't pick the stuff that has maida at the
yeah.
at the label. Like just don't pick maida stuff.
So I was like, can you, you know, list out 4 or 5 things Indians are doing wrong? Like, one of the things I can recall, having biscuits with tea.
Like, avoid biscuits, first of all. Yeah. Completely avoid biscuits. Because biscuits are just maida, hydrogenated fat, and sugar. There's no nutrition there. I would say Indians are deficient in protein. You have to make up your protein during a day. Obviously, if you're vegetarian, you can't eat eggs, but you have to make up your protein with either tofu, paneer. So be conscious about your protein intake. Avoid biscuits. Avoid the samosa and vada pav. And try to do like only one cheat meal a week. So you don't feel deprived. You don't feel like you're not getting to eat anything. Like, restrict that and eat by 6 o'clock. Like, keep like a hard stop and say that beyond 6 to 7, finish it. From 7 to the next morning, don't eat. Because the body needs to reset. Like, you need that rest.
So like 40% of millennials, they skip their breakfast. Why is that happening? Like,
because they wake up late. The reason, like, if you're waking up at 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock in the morning, you're going to get hungry by 9. But if you wake up at 10 in the morning, you don't find the need to make breakfast, right? You just have lunch.
And
it's very interrelated, right? Like, your sleep habits, your influence your food habits, your workout influences your protein.
Yeah.
So the way you live your life influences a lot of what you end up doing, the choices that you end up making.
And is there a different set of suggestions for women? Because women need different kind of...
So I would say for women, calcium and protein are really important because you need to keep your bones strong. I also feel like Indian women don't find the need to work out the way people abroad do. So I would say incorporating that workout, you know, because you're all day you're just thinking about your family, but you need to think about yourself, and you can do much more for your family if you are at the peak of your health. So do that walk for 1 hour in case you're not going. Find that yoga class. It's a very social. The reason to go and work out with other people is also you make a couple of friends there, then it becomes, doesn't feel like a chore. It feels like you're going there to, you know.
And I think a lot of women don't get to experience that kind of time.
Yeah.
So whenever I, you know, do yoga, I feel very happy. It's not because I have like back pain issues, so I'm doing yoga and I won't have pain. It's like during that 1 hour, I think that I'm doing something for myself.
Yeah.
And I'm getting think about ek thehra ve ek ghante ke liye aa gaya hai ki pure din mein aaj kya hua, kya nahi karna chahiye tha, kya karna chahiye. It's like the reason why I prefer yoga over gym, because gym mein aapko sochne ka time thoda kam milta hai. Music bhi chal raha hai aur intense hota hai thoda. Yoga,
people I've realized also love music, right? It's a good 1 hour to actually like dance or to like, it's just nice. It's just, you know, it's that 1 hour you get to do whatever you like doing. So you should choose the workout that makes it feel like it's not a workout. So if for Indian women, I would say more calcium and protein and more like 1 hour every day for yourself to work out in the way in which it doesn't feel like a workout.
Makes sense. And Suhasini, we also, like I see these low fat products or low sugar or zero sugar. Want to know more about those products. Like whenever we have tea, so there is this third thing apart from brown sugar and white sugar, zero sugar, you know, sweetener.
Yeah.
What's that? Like what are these kind of products?
So, you have to see the source. So if the no sugar product is chemical, avoid it. If the no sugar product is stevia and stevia comes from plants, it's okay. But there's still research going around in terms of, you know, whether stevia has any long-term implications on health. So if you ask me, some sugar a day is fine. Like if you're only having sugar in your tea in the morning and evening, it's okay. You have to measure. But if you're putting that, like eating chocolate, restrict your indulgences to once a week. Then you don't have to think so much about everything. If you enjoy, you know, in India, that cup of tea is cultural. It's the way the family sits together and reads their newspaper or comes together for breakfast. I would say don't make changes on the things that make you feel like you're at home or you're like. The social things don't change too much. Change the habits that are stress induced. You put that chocolate in because you feel like suddenly your problems will go away. Don't do that. Restrict your indulgences to once a week. Then it doesn't matter this, you don't have to worry about low calorie, no sugar. You avoid biscuits, you avoid chocolate, you do one cheat meal a week, you sleep on time, you eat between 6 to 7 o'clock. You won't become a model, but you'll
be okay.
Healthy. You'll be okay. I have never, like, some people tell me, like, you're not skinny enough. I've never visited a hospital or I've never gone to a doctor in 20 years, right? Like, I've never seen a doctor. I've never taken a medicine in my life. I probably took, the last medicine I took was something my mother gave me when I was 5 years old. The last I took was the COVID vaccine. I've never taken a medicine in my life. I was able to have a child quite late in my life. I got married late. I got married when I was 35. I had a child quite easily. I think those are the indicators of... I was 36.
Okay.
I think the indicators of health have to be changed. Like people assume...
It was okay for you, the delivery?
Like the day before Elevation put money in the company, Manipal Hospital is opposite. We signed the term sheet. I went to the hospital that night and we were doing the diligence literally the day after that. I have never struggled to not do anything. And during my pregnancy, most people didn't even know I was pregnant because I was just,
this
I was fine.
So
I was just
amazing.
Yeah. And a lot of people come back and tell me, you're on a health food company, you're not skinny. I'm like, I have never taken a pill in my life. To me, that's a better indicator of health. I can lift 50 kgs. I can do push-ups, like 30 push-ups. I won't break a sweat. Like, I'm really strong. Like, even my gym instructor who comes to train me will say it. Like, I'm very, very strong. Like, I'm mentally strong. I'm physically strong. Why do I need to look like a size zero?
I can connect the dots now. Like, your focus, you're so driven. You have minimal lifestyle.
And I focus on the important things. My relationships are very important. Like, I'm very socially, like, I love... Like, I'll talk to everybody. Every flight I've taken in my life, I have made two friends. We might not keep in touch.
You don't stick with entrepreneurs.
I mean, I feel I need honest conversation. Like, if somebody's...
Maybe after this podcast, I get to sit with you.
No, of course. I have a very large social circle.
Yeah.
But also, I mean, my closer friends are people who have known me from the time I was, like, 14, 15 years and some even earlier than that.
But this is so amazing.
But I would say, like, in life, you should always keep your life really simple. Like, I feel we complicate our lives too much. It's quite simple, actually. It's, you only need food, shelter, clothing, and you need to take care of the house you live in is your body. So you have to make sure that you do what is good for your body. Like, but not overstress, right? Like, and you can't impress everybody all the time and it's okay. Like, it's fine.
So minimalism is the key. You can do everything, but if you do it in the right,
I feel like
you can socialize also. You can build a company. You can deliver a baby. Like,
I
even
mean that,
in your, but
that is just genetic. Like, I can't take credit.
But maybe it has something.
I have never, like, I won't waste money on a Coke. Like, I've never drunk Coke in my life. I'm okay.
Yeah.
I don't buy ice creams. I've never, like, biscuits and stuff. The last I ate was 20 years ago. And it's fine. And I think, like, you know, like some people say, like, yeah, for all the health things that you tell me, you don't look. I'm like, your notion of what looks healthy is very different from my notion of what is health. My notion of health is if I run a race today with a 20-year-old and I'm in the gym with a 20-year-old, can I lift weights like her? Can I run on the treadmill faster than her? So my benchmark, I'm okay to have like a little bit of flab. It's a natural process of aging. I don't want to do anything about it. But can I constantly, challenge myself for, you know, in terms of performing or like in terms of like health parameters that are important, valuable to our life, not some external, gratification. For me, that is more important. Like, and I think I made the right choice. I think some of these things, I might have made mistakes along the way, but I think it's fine. If you end up with a life where you feel that you've mostly been happy, I think you've done a few right things. I'm saying if you mostly have been satisfied, grateful, happy, then it's fine. You've made choices that have worked for your life. If you feel like you've spent a life where you've constantly feel upset, you constantly feel like you've compared, you constantly feel like you've let yourself down, then it's time to relook and say, what are the choices that I could do differently?
So, Asni, tell me about the time when you were, you had a baby and company was still at a...
Those were actually very beautiful time in my life. I would definitely say that the best thing to happen to me was...
With the timing?
Perfect.
Perfect.
Because, I mean, Arya was born in 2019 and COVID struck in 2020. Now, I'm very sad that COVID happened. I think a lot of people went through a lot of difficulty. Yeah. But for me personally, it also meant that I got to spend more time with her. And I really enjoy time. Like, I'm very, like, even when she was 6 months, I would read a lot to her or I would sing to her. Or I had routines. Like, for me, I would make these small routines.
Yeah.
I didn't find, and my investors were very nice about the whole thing. Like, I feel it was easy for them to understand because all of them are parents themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Most of them have daughters. To be honest, yeah, Kanan has two daughters. Deepak has one daughter, one son. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I feel like people understand that.
There's still a lot to do, yeah, but.
Yeah, and you do it. You do
it. Yeah, but there's a strong message we are sending through this podcast that the right set of choices, the right kind of routine, with the minimal routine for needs.
Yeah.
You can have a lot. Yeah.
I don't know if you can have everything. Yes, yes. You may not be able to have everything.
Yeah.
But you can have enough.
At least that point in time.
Yeah.
The things that matter the most, you don't have to compromise with any of those things at least.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think I have a lot to learn from you.
I'm just saying it as it is. I don't know. Different people derive happiness from different things.
Yeah.
I know people who are extremely spirited unless they do like that best company, and for them the company matters more than their family and all of that. I'm not that person, and I'm okay to make that choice. I would much rather, as my inherent ability to balance a lot of things, I'm okay to have a little of a lot of things and not the maximum of any one thing. I do believe people who have a more balanced life tend to be happier, and I would much rather optimize for being the happiest person on the planet than optimize for being a lot of the other things. Like, and that would be my life's goal. Like, how I will never know if I'm the happiest person in the world. It's impossible to measure. And therefore it's a good thing to aspire, because if you're constantly aspiring as to how to be happier every day, that's the best thing you can actually do for yourself. Neither can it be measured, neither will you ever be unhappy. And you'll always make the choices that inherently optimize that. And there's no better purpose in life. Your purpose of existence should be that you feel better every day. Yeah.
Makes sense. And Suhasini, Yoga Bar is now part of ITC, right? What's that one thing you have learned from ITC, like institution like ITC?
So I've learned a lot of things, but I would say the thing that I was most impressed with is their work ethic. I think ITC, at least everyone I have seen and met, I do believe for them work is worship. Like, I do believe they treat work as really important, and they find that motivation to really deliver excellence. That's something that's even I'm learning from. Like, you know, how do you push yourself? Like, as an entrepreneur, it comes naturally. It's your company, whatever, right? And of course, even in ITC, shareholders and employees are also shareholders, etc. So in a sense that it is a shareholder-run company. But to push yourself towards excellence every day, and senior management, like, I remember there was one time when we had our board meeting on Saturday, and Mr. Malik was, you know, he heads the food division, and he said, if there's a spillover, I'm okay to come on Sunday because I understand you guys are traveling on Monday. Like, such a senior person.
Yeah.
First of all, having the humility to tell us that I'll work around your time schedule, and to offer to come on a Sunday is because I'm sure their job is a lot more stressful than mine, because now that I have ITC looking after a lot of the distribution, etc., my job's become a lot easier in their system. So I think learning that high quality work ethic is something that I get to witness firsthand.
And you are now part of ITC, and we see all these new age brands. Yoga Bar is one of them, and we have different style of working. Marketing strategies are different. How are these institutions are different than these new age brands? Like, so apart from scale, what's different?
I think institutions are much more long-term thinking, because I think when you end up doing a startup, and I'm going by my classical mistakes, right? You can't chase revenue all the time. You have to go deep in a category. The reason ITC eventually bought Yoga Bar is not because the revenue was X or Y. They bought it because we had serious market share in bars and we had serious market share in muesli. And most of our product extensions, they could see it as taking market share. New age companies try to do multiple brands, multiple products. And it, I feel like it's difficult to manage offline when you have, when you don't have depth in a category. You can't influence margins. You can't influence price. You can't influence, you know, trade to get really attracted unless you have serious market share.
Yeah.
And I think the fundamental difference between an institution and the way startups work is you keep optimizing for revenue irrespective of quality of that revenue. It's a mistake that, you know, we also went into line extensions. We tried to like launch entire Ayurvedic set of products and it really bombed, right?
Yeah.
But what really is valuable is going deep in a category, owning as much market share as possible. That's what.
But you were also focused on, you know, building bars, like making bars only for initial 6 years,
yeah,
right?
So, which was a good decision.
Yeah.
Because that meant that, that, you know, we never used to spend on marketing and all that much. We never had whatever inside Amazon, Flipkart, whatever ads we used to run, right?
Yeah.
But because we were so focused on like, the minute we launched muesli.
Yeah.
It was so easy for people to trust the brand because they knew that the...
It's coming from Yoga Bar, so we can trust it.
Yeah, we can trust it. And I think that was actually, in retrospect, a very good thing that we did.
Yeah.
Because if we tried to extend across 10 different categories, we might not have been ever able to kind of convince a strategic investor why they should buy 2% in 100 different categories.
Mm-hmm.
Better to buy 30% and... Because then as the market size grows and it's categories that you want to bet on, you would be okay to acquire a company and do that.
Yeah. And I think this is one of the reasons why ITC took a bit.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
You were,
it is
you
a primary reason.
It was always like long-term thinking, building distribution for one thing and then going on for the next thing.
Yeah, yeah. Like, and also the fact of doing omni-channel, right? Like we were available and we were able to sell and collect cash offline.
Yeah.
Billing, not just billing. You can show sales, but you have to collect that cash. It means trade actually believes that your product sells.
Yeah. So amazing. And you also mentioned that people would ask for Yoga Bar, not...
Even if they were buying a competitor product, it became like a noun.
Yeah. And we have these brands, ye Pet Safa, jinka ek, one of the products is Pet Safa. And its founder said that if a customer goes to the shop and he asks for Pet Safa, and Pet Safa available nahi hai, and shopkeeper suggests... some other alternatives and he takes that. So he's like, branding to ho gaya, but if this is the situation, then you are working for your competitors, not for yourself.
Yeah.
So you should also, like, distribution
is very
ke bina kuch bhi nahi
hai. It's very important.
Like, do you want to comment on that?
So, I mean, the primary reason for doing the strategic deal was to make sure that we get distributed to all the relevant. It's been very difficult to build.
Yeah.
It's not easy to build offline distribution at all.
Is it because of healthy health? Because
no, it's a very expensive process. You need 300 crores at the very minimum to kind of like build sensible distribution.
Mm-hmm.
And even then your relationships with this, you should remember that the ITCs and the Dabbers of the world have relationship with their distributors spanning 100 years.
100 years.
How are you going to substitute that?
So it was more like finding a home for
finding
Yoga
a home for a brand that will live.
Yeah.
Yeah, that will live.
No, I'm sure you will feel amazing and I'll also feel, because we have this conversation, I feel connected with you. So whenever we will see Yoga Bar in next 30 years, 40 years, if I, if I'm there,
of course
it will be an amazing feeling.
Yeah, I mean, it will be nice. I mean, I do look forward to a point where, you know, like,
I can tell Kabir and
she's my friend.
Yeah. Yeah. Amazing. And
but a lot of heart and soul has gone into building the brand. A lot of heart and soul.
Definitely.
Like, we didn't do shortcuts. We didn't, like, we really, like, even today, the, and this is blind audit, right? Anyone goes to my home, opens the drawer.
Yeah.
The only packaged food you'll find will either be the Yoga Bar oats or the Chocos or, and I eat the Yoga Bar chocolate muesli. I call it my bowl of happiness. Like, in the morning, I get up, like, of course, it's measured 40 grams of muesli and a whole plate of strawberries and apple. Mango season's coming. It's the reason, like, I'm just waiting for the mango season. But, it's, I mean, we make food like the way we make for our family.
And so what are the other brands you really admire? Like,
I like Biotique. I find that their products are quite honest. I like, for personal care, I definitely think that their products are quite good. I use their soaps and I use their toothpaste.
Any other company that has taken counterintuitive bet and like?
I like Vadam teas. I find Vadam teas quite natural, quite high quality tea, and I love my tea. So I think Vadam's done a pretty good job with the product. And I think like Forest Essentials, etc., are quite good brands.
Yes.
Like, I do believe they look beautiful. They deliver a certain version of India that has a certain kind of aesthetic. And my favorite home decor brand is kind of Good Earth. Mm-hmm. I feel they do get design. They do get aesthetic.
So if you can name 5-6 brands that have really changed the habits of Indian consumers for good.
Yeah. So I think in clothing, I would say it's Zudio and Zara. I would definitely say they're opening in India and expanding their stores. Zudio, of course, owned by the Tatas. Zara's also, I think, Tata's investment. Like, I think it's a JV. Yeah, it's a JV. So I do think that opened up the clothing space fully. H&M for kids' clothes, I would say. I would say in food is difficult. I think it's owned by the FMCG companies. And I think I might be biased, but I think Except Us, I don't think. I mean, I think we built a serious company in food. I think Vadam's interesting from a tea perspective. I think personal care, I've always liked Biotique. Biotique, Mysore Sandal, Medimix, the companies that took really long to kind of build who they were. What else? In design and home stuff, I think Nicobar, Good Earth. I think they've over a period of 20, 30 years built a very solid brand for themselves.
I have my friend, he's also building a healthy product, healthy food. He's building in healthy food category, and he had a very bad experience with VCs with his first venture.
Okay.
And he got multiple rejections and then he started something else. And he's so much focused on just cracking the distribution now.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to do any branding or marketing because he doesn't have the budget.
Yeah.
Because at the same time, he doesn't want to raise from VCs.
Yeah.
It's like VCs, they don't understand your perspective. And when you take money from them, you are forced or you feel the pressure to do things in a way you don't want to pursue.
Yeah.
So he is taking government grants because in that case, you have less pressure.
Yeah.
And you can sustain because without money, you can't, build the product.
Yeah.
So there are things he mentioned that, as you also mentioned in one of the interviews, VC hallucinations.
Yeah. For food.
For food.
No, let me actually rephrase that, right? The VC hallucination comment was for telling people to grow food through D2C, through their website.
Yeah.
A 30 to 40% gross margin product cannot sustain through a website. You need a 70% gross margin product.
Hmm.
So just because everybody does D2C, personal care can do D2C.
Hmm.
Food cannot, because your gross margins has to be north of 60%.
Hmm.
Because you have the logistics cost, you have the marketing cost, and then you have to generate a profit, right?
Hmm.
To be fair to VCs, without them, it's not possible to accelerate your growth. Now, if I had to do yoga bars over a 50-year journey, somebody with my background, I mean, we had one house that my father got allotted through the government. It is impossible for me to sustain. I don't have a family business.
Yeah.
Nobody historically has ever done business in my house. Without their support, would it have been possible at all for me to do what I've done? Absolutely not. I think the responsibility lies both sides.
Hmm.
I think the valuations have to be accurate. If you can't, like, I remember that when we were raising, there were a couple of companies at half our revenue and 2x our losses getting valued higher than us. Now, it causes problems for both parties. No strategic is going to give you that kind of value. And by the VC doing that, they've made it expensive for everybody, because suddenly this person has got so much money.
Hmm.
And they're just throwing it behind, not building a sustainable business. Yeah, responsibility lies in both the entrepreneur building properly and the venture capitalist doing it at the right value, doing it at, you know, the right amount of money. Like, you don't just, it's not an industry where you can just, money is going to solve your problems.
Yeah.
Paisa de diya, kal revenue aa jayega aur financials bhi teak ho jayega, aisa kuch nahi hota. Aur ye ARR sab kuch is just bakwas. Like,
yeah.
People don't value you on your annual run rate.
Yeah.
There is a buying cycle for the consumer for food. Like, for juices, it's April, May, June when it's summer. Yeah. You have to take annual, I mean, the full year's, last year's revenue is where people value
you. I think this is the reason why partnering with the right people makes all the difference.
Yeah.
Like people, like now I think all the entrepreneurs, they don't raise money from anyone.
Yeah.
They raise money from people who can actually be supportive.
Yeah.
And because they understand the space, they understand the needs and how exactly they can add the value.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, like, this is the new trend that entrepreneurs, especially second-time entrepreneurs, they prefer to take money from experts / angels than institutions.
Yeah. I mean, you also have to price it right. Like, I'm a very clever investor.
Yeah.
And a lot of entrepreneurs expect a certain valuation. You have to be realistic. Like,
yeah.
you have to leave money on the table to make money. And I think that's the important thing to remember. There is no such thing as a good deal. The deal happens when everyone gets an exit and all parties on the table have won. There is no me winning, you losing your money. There is no, you have to, the best negotiations happen when everyone has walked away from that table feeling like they all got something.
Yeah.
That's important to remember.
Something you felt after your...
Yeah, of course.
Right? And you also mentioned many times about your father and how men in your life contributed or supported you to be more ambitious. And can you comment on that? Because it's very important. There are so many women, and especially when they have to make the decision to choose the right partner for themselves, right?
Yeah.
What kind of... Like, suppose... We have a very ambitious working woman.
Yeah.
And she has to make that decision for herself. What are the qualities she shouldn't compromise with?
Yeah. See, so this is a very long topic. You know, and it's actually involves looking at life a bit differently.
Yeah.
That my father was who my father was my luck.
Yeah.
I was born to him. I'm very fortunate. Yeah. I also don't want to take away from the things that my mother has done for me. I had very good parents. I have very, my mom's still alive, and obviously I'm very, very fortunate, right? I also think most men have to look at their daughters like the way my dad did. If there's one lesson to be learned, my father, you know, when the third daughter was born, everybody was telling him, I'm so sorry. And my dad was like, the third one's also like Indira Gandhi. So, you know, to take that sense of seriousness and to take that sense of, I mean, I want my daughters to realize their potential. And for a man, we're talking about this 50 years ago, takes a certain kind of human being.
Yeah.
And if more people are that broad-minded, it's better for society. So the lesson for most men is that you should, and I think India's getting there, to be very honest, I think today India's getting there. Coming to the second part, like Aditya obviously came in at a time where my business was negative revenue. He helped me throughout the ITC process. He did the entire online sales when my offline sales tanked. And it's a lot of sacrifice. Like, it is not easy for someone to come and fix a business. And to also not, and he's sensible enough to know that it's what he's doing for my happiness, right? It's not, when you are growing your own business, you're willing to take all of those hardships. But to do it because it's the right thing for the family takes a person of a certain maturity, right? So to answer the question, when I chose my life partner, I only looked for three qualities. I looked for somebody who's completely honest. I don't want someone who'll ever, you know, you should be able to talk to each other. You should be able to trust. Like, trust is number one. I would say you should always look for that friendship. Like, do you all, when all that madness settles and when all that, everything settles, are you all both able to truly tell each other how you all feel? You look for friendship. And, you look, the third very important quality is, are you marrying a kind human being? Like, is somebody able to look at somebody else's interest, over their own?
Yeah.
I'm not somebody who's actually extremely empathetic or kind, but I work on it and I've become a better human being because I've seen my husband do it. I didn't optimize for the degrees. I didn't optimize for the money. It wasn't even a criteria for me. I don't care about all of that. Yeah. The only three criteria I cared about was honesty,
yeah,
kindness, and friendship. And I think if you make choices that are not influenced by pedigree or the fact that he was a very intelligent human being was a icing on the cake. It helps that somebody, like I can ask Aditya something about Einstein's life. He would have read the documentary, but I could also ask him about Billy Elliot and he will know, you know, like I would ask him about the political situation right now in Gaza and he would know.
Hmm.
So the fact that he's an encyclopedia is exciting, but inherently as an individual, he's a very kind human being. Hmm. And that's what people should seek in a partner. I'm not saying marriages are easy. Like I'm quick to add that irrespective of two very, very good human beings being together, sometimes, you know, there are the ups and downs of marriage and you'll have to, your value systems will hold you together. But at least when you're making that choice, don't make frivolous choices. Like don't make the choice because somebody went to a good college or somebody has X amount of money. I think that's not very useful.
Yeah.
When I say that you have to tune your choices, you're not hiring for a job.
Yeah.
You're not hiring for a, you're hiring for, I mean, in a lot of ways, you're hiring for a life partner and for a father of your children. So you need to make the choice to marry a good human being.
Yeah.
That's the choice to make.
This makes so much sense because world has become flashy.
Yeah.
And we shouldn't, but we are kind of talking about most of the people. We have started forgetting the roots.
Yeah.
The things we should be focusing on.
Yeah.
The core.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Marriage kyun work karegi?
Yeah.
A partnership kyun work karti hai?
Yeah.
And kahin na kahin wo picture perfect thoda hame influence kar deta.
Yeah. There's no such thing as a picture perfect life.
Yeah.
It is the meandering.
Like you mentioned the
stories. There's no such thing. Like you will have the ups, you will have the downs, you will have things that you need to get through. And it's the right attitude. Like, what is the learning in each of these situations? How do you take that back home and make it better the next time? I think that's the, there's no such thing as a, as a straight line. I mean, life will never be a straight line. And you will never truly be able to understand what somebody else is going through because you haven't lived their life.
Hmm.
So what you see and what other people experience is very, very different from what you see on.
Yeah. So you should be kind enough to understand.
You should always understand somebody else's point of view.
We have started reacting very quickly.
Yeah.
So how do we be more kind that we take a moment to understand? If we don't understand, it's okay. Don't comment.
Yeah.
If you can help, then only you should,
yeah,
you know, come up with some solution or. And I'm sure many people are going to learn from this interview. And the best and the must thing they should be learning from you is how to focus on the most important things. And how do you do that? Like by making...
Yeah,
Simplifying your life.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Swasini, for being
on the
podcast.
Thank you for having me.
I truly enjoyed it.
No, thank you so much.
My Saturday is well spent.
Oh, I'm happy to hear that.
Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you.